Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Paranormal Horizons.
Join us as we explore the
world of the paranormal. Paranormal on Blog Talk Radio. Relax, put your feet up, and get ready to enter the world of the paranormal.
Good evening, everyone out there in the paranormal world, friends, family, aliens, ghosts. I'm Pat Rice, and my co-host?
And I'm Jason Ophir.
Hi, Jason. How are you this evening?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to another show here on Blog Talk Radio, Paranormal Horizons, where, as everyone out there knows, or if you are new, just to remind you, we broadcast every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. But yeah, just kind of looking forward, Jason, to the rain going away here in Oregon, which is where you and I are hailing from. And man, it has just been raining like crazy.
It has, and I'm looking forward to the to getting a little bit better weather so I can grab that old Harley Davidson Road King out of the garage. And well, not that I don't ride in the rain, because I do, but it's a lot more pleasurable to ride when it's a little nicer out.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But I know everybody has spring fever, and you know, wherever you are listening from, I know some of our, you know, Midwest listeners and East Coast listeners have just had a horrible winter. So what do we have to complain about? A little rain. But I know they're sort of, you know, starting to melt and also looking forward to warmer weather. And Jason, before we, I know you've got some news stuff you want to share with us, but I just want to mention to everyone out there, in about 5 minutes or so, we have a really great guest with us this evening. Her name is Chantal, and she is a psychic and an empath, and we are just going to have an exciting conversation with her. Really looking forward to talking with her. But before we get to her, what's going on, Jason? I know you've got some sort of story you wanted to share.
Well, and this one's a little bit out there. You know, I do keep my eyes out there from various news sources. Now, mind you, some of these sources, their credibility is questionable, but I did come across one story that was pertaining to the missing airliner, and for anybody that wants to find this story, they can find it on Before It Was News or truther.org. I found it rather interesting, and I also found it a little bit out there. Basically, what the story consisted of and what the title was 10 different reasons that flight didn't exist. And they go through these 10, yeah, I know, weird, right?
Yeah.
They go through these 10 reasons, and, you know, some of them sound somewhat plausible. But when you read through all of it, to summarize all these 10 reasons, is they have comprised a theory of what's going to happen. They believe, now I'm not saying this to offend anybody, I'm just informing them of a story that I came across, because I know it's a sensitive issue and lots of lives were lost, but I kind of wanted to give the listener, the listening audience, an idea of some of the theories out there. So, but the culmination of the article was suggesting that this missing flight was or is going to have something to do with a false flag attack. What a false flag attack is basically when our own government attacks itself or the population to allow them to have more of a reason and gain popular support to do something. Like a lot of people say that 9/11 was an inside job and the government perpetrated it so that we could go to Iraq. So they're saying that this flight has something to do with a future false flag attack. And what they are suggesting, and this is out there, and I'm curious of your opinion, Pat, is that this plane is going to be used to perpetrate a nuclear attack somewhere in the United States, that somehow this plane is going to reappear armed with a nuclear weapon, and they are suggesting that it's going to be a false flag attack, and they're going to blame Iran, so they'll have an excuse to attack Iran. And some, one of the reasons they believe that it's going to be an attack, you know, and to make people believe that it originated in Iran is when the news reports originally broke, they had identified a couple Iranians with fake passports that they were saying that they were seeking asylum. So it's a bit out there. It's even a stretch for me because I'm kind of in the conspiracy kind of thing. But what do you think?
Jason, at this point in the game, because now we're hearing about what appeared to be some cover-ups from the Malaysian government about the actual last word from the pilot and things like that. And I've talked to a lot of people about this, and just people that, you know, aren't necessarily into the paranormal, but a lot of people are feeling that it is a cover-up. And I know that sounds far-fetched, but at this point, I'm sort of like, I just don't know. And I'm kind of interested also tonight when we talk to Chantal here in a few minutes to see if she's had any kind of psychic hits or intuition on the plane itself. But I don't know, because they're not really – they still have not come forward with any legitimate – paraphernalia, if you will, from the plane itself in the ocean. And I know it's a very vast ocean, but hey, I'm not going to rule that out yet. So
well, for the record, I think that it getting sucked into a wormhole into another dimension is more likely than it's going to magically show up with a nuke. I just wanted to share that, because, you know, it's amazing what people believe out there.
I know.
Now, granted, our government in the past, if you look at declassified documents dating back to the 40s, 50s, and 60s, our government has done a lot of shady things, even on its own population. But that, I'm afraid, is taking it a little bit. It's stretching it a little bit.
It is stretching it. I know. So let's kind of keep apprised of that. And, hey, by the way, Jason, what's our chat room in case anybody wants to go in there and chat?
The chat room, and there are people in there, is www.beyondtheedgeofreality, one word, no hyphens or anything, .com. www.beyondtheedgeofreality.com, and it's just a simple one page that has a chat in it.
Okay, so go in there if you want to chat. And also, Jason, I think we're open to people calling in as well if they want to join the conversation. And What is that number, Jason? Is that, that's our 215 number?
215, well, that's probably Chantal, the 913-314.
Right, but if anybody else wants to call in, they'd call 215.
Oh, oh sorry. That was the guest call-in number is 215-383-3999.
Okay, good. All right. Well, listen, without any further ado, let's go ahead and get Chantal into the conversation. And just to give everybody a little bit of background about her, she is the purple cupcake. Did you know that, Jason?
I did not. I had not heard that before, but she does have that beautiful colored hair.
Yes, so if you saw her picture, you would know why she's called the purple cupcake. But she is a, you know, very, very talented psychic medium. She's a clairvoyant, and she's also been involved in many investigations and supernatural paranormal investigations, let me say that. And she lives in Kansas, which I have never been to Kansas, and we're just going to, you know, chat with her tonight about how she got into this, and we're going to release her into the queue here in just a second. So stay tuned here on Paranormal Horizons on Blog Talk Radio with myself, Pat Rice, and Jason Ophir with our special guest, Chantal. All right. I'm trying wrong one. There we go. I pressed the wrong button. I was Chantal, are you there with us?
I'm here.
Oh, good. I pressed the wrong button, and there was a little bit of a delay there. But how are you this evening, Chantal?
I'm all right. I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hi, Chantal.
Hi, Jason.
So what is going
on?
Yeah, good to have you here on Paranormal Chantal. So what's going on in Kansas? You live in, let me see if I'm saying this right, Lenexa?
Yep, Lenexa, Kansas.
All right. So tell us what the weather's like there. Are you still freezing?
Well, today was a bit chillier than it has been the past 2 or 3 days. But we're supposed to be getting some rain tonight and some thunderstorms and stuff tomorrow. And as everyone knows, Kansas is Tornado Alley, along with a few different states. But Kansas is most known for, you know, Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz and whatnot. And
mm-hmm.
So.
Have you lived there all your life?
No, actually, I haven't. I was actually born in Connecticut. Then I moved around a bit, and I actually ended up in Kansas. And I'll explain this story if you want me to explain how I ended up in Kansas.
Well, did you click your little red shoes, or was that, it was another way?
No, it was another way.
Okay. No,
there's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Okay, well, how I ended up in Kansas is one night in Connecticut, when I used to live there, I was surfing online, you know, paranormal websites and whatnot, and I had come across this website that was streaming a live feed of a paranormal investigation, so I clicked on it thinking, hey, it'd be really cool. And they have this chat box where you can interact with the investigators and whatnot, and Rick was sitting in a chair in a room, and I had seen an old man standing next to him grabbing his arm, and so I typed that in the chat box. And Larry actually had told Rick that, and as soon as Larry told Rick, you know, it became really real for him, and he was just like, I got to get out of here, I got to talk to her. And so Rick and I started to Skype right after that, and, you know, we got to talking, and I found out he had a son. His name's Nathan. Him and I are together, Nathan and I. I moved down here to be with him. And that's
wow.
how I came down here, and we started Spooks Investigations.
Wow.
Awesome.
So that sounds like that was something that really, I mean, kind of creating that relationship was created from a lot of trust and probably your intuition and things like that.
Absolutely.
Well, getting back to that, Chantal, tell us, because this we always ask folks this, you know, how the heck did you determine that you were a psychic? You know, did this come on when you were a little girl, or what happened?
Absolutely. I can remember my first instance that I can remember. It was when I was 2 years old. I was sleeping in my bed, and I was startled out of a very deep sleep to see these two figures standing at the end of my bed. They were all white, except for they were covered in blood. And I started screaming for my mom, and she came running in. I could barely get a word out of my mouth. I just was screaming and crying and so on and so forth, you know, what a normal kid would do when they're really scared. So, you know, she went and grabbed her holy water, holding me in her other arm. And, you know, she started blessing the room and, you know, getting rid of the evil spirit that was there. My mother is also a psychic. And a medium. She used to work with Ed Lorraine Warren when she was younger, as well as my grandmother. So my mother knew how to deal with all of that. And so as I grew older, you know, I started to hear things and see things and feel things that, you know, I noticed nobody else was picking up on. And so I started to ask questions to my mom and my grandma. And, you know, so then they started to shed some light on being a psychic and a medium and how it runs in our family. And ever mm-hmm. since then, I've just been using my abilities and everything like that. And since I was 10, I've literally helped over 11,000 people since I was 10.
Wow.
Wow.
So, you know, Chantal, it seems like coming into it sort of from a family perspective, in some ways, that must have been sort of grounding to you, and you know, you had that support of, you know, your mom and grandma, you know, saying, "Hey, you're not crazy. This is real." I mean, is that true?
It wasn't so much support. My mom and I, you know, I don't like to get into it. We're estranged. We don't speak at all very much. That's a whole other subject. But as
right.
you know, growing up and everything and asking the questions that I did, you know, I only got those answers. You know, I didn't get help with evolving my abilities and growing as a crystal child and grow, you know, evolving into an indigo adult. I didn't have help with that. I didn't have any guidance. So I had to teach myself and, you know, mm-hmm. read and research and, you know, just focus on me and what I can do and what I can improve on and so forth. And that's why I am strong as a psychic as I am today. And I use some really unorthodox methods, you know, in my work since I didn't have the proper guidance when I was younger.
Right.
So
you had to trust yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Jason.
I was curious, now you're an empath, and I was hoping that for the listeners you could explain what an empath is, and I was kind of wondering if you could categorize your other abilities. You mentioned as a child that you heard voices, so I was really curious if you could, like, communicate with people that have passed.
Okay, well, I will start off with empath. An empath is someone who can walk into a room and they are in, say, for instance, Jason, you walk into a room and you're in a really happy mood and then you're standing next to someone that you don't know, but you all of a sudden start to feel very uneasy and upset and really sad and almost to the point where you want to start crying because of that stranger that you're standing next to. You are picking up on their emotions and taking them on as your own. And that also goes in with the spirit world as well. You will, an empath will feel the other side. They will feel what a spirit has gone through. So that,
that sounds like that could be a huge burden. I mean, what if you're surrounded by really depressed people?
It is. It is. Sometimes it is. I'm not going to lie. I, you know, still struggle with it a little bit. But, you know, that just comes with being an empath. You know, you pick up on people, and sometimes it's harder to get rid of people's energy than it is others. So, and now for what was that on?
Oh, I just said, yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
And as for growing up with the abilities that I realized I did have, I realized that I not only could hear them, the spirits and the ghosts and the entities and the demons, but I also saw them and I felt them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to communicate with them. And sometimes it was really hard and really scary. Other times it was easy and calming.
You know, and Chantal, I was just going to ask you about that, and then you just started talking about it, that I imagine it would have really been, especially at a young age, challenging as you started, you know, getting these, you know, messages and communications and, you know, just like people, you know, some people are nicer than others, you know what I mean? And I would think that in the spirit realm that you would be experiencing, you know, some of that stuff too. And now with communications, you know, from the psych and the empath perspective, did you get messages from, you know, spirits or entities that just, they just want to talk to someone, or they're trying
Absolutely, every day, you know, I try to turn myself off as much as possible. And there's always such a misconception about psychics and mediums or the combination of both that, you know, our abilities are turned on every day, all day long. That's completely 100% false. If a psychic or a medium or both were to keep their abilities heightened all day, every day, we would literally go insane. Because much energy in so many people, and you know, it's just so much to handle at once.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to stay off as much as possible unless I'm giving a reading or I'm going on an investigation or I'm feeling well enough to be able to just open myself up and have people who really need me come.
Right. Now, Chantal, in the years that you've been doing this, and you really have sort of a nice, I mean, you do a lot of things. You're, you know, you do the psychic and the empath, and then you've also, now you're involved in organization. Is that correct, where you actually go out on investigations?
Yes, me and my fiance, we actually have our own team.
And is that
which is
Supernatural Paranormal Organization of Kansas?
Of Kansas, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so tell us about that. Like, what, like, how long have you guys been doing that? And tell us more about what you do.
Well, we've had our team since May of 2012. Actually, we started it right after I moved here. You know, we've done investigations all over, you know, a tri-state area. We've done Louisiana, Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri. I haven't been anywhere else besides those investigating just yet, but I'm hoping to. But Rick, Nathan, and Larry were part of another team at one point, and they were unhappy with the direction that that was going into, so Nathan and I had the brilliant idea of starting our own team. You know, and bringing on Rick and Larry. And then we brought on another team member. Her name is Brittany. And I'm going to go through the list of what all that we do. As everyone knows, I am a psychic medium. That's what I do for the team. I'm an investigator as well as a tool. We are all history nerds. We love history. We love going to historical places. And for some reason, all of our investigations have tied in with one another at some point in time. Nathan is our historian, founder, and he is a lead investigator. He has had 9 years of paranormal, I don't know, experience, I guess. Rick is one of our co-founders. He's our cameraman, tech manager, and also a lead investigator, and has had 36 years of experience with the paranormal. And,
oh, wow.
You know, at some point, if it's all right with you guys, you know, a later date, I would love to have the team on at
yeah,
one point.
Yeah.
So we can all talk about what our team does, you know, together. We're more of a family than a team. Larry is a co-founder, a historian, video editor, and a lead investigator. He does all of our YouTube videos. And Brittany is our newest member. She is a malevolent entity specialist. She deals with more of a darker side of things, you know, demons, possessions, all that stuff, which is very rare that it happens. So that's also another misconception that demons and all of that possessions happen all the time, and it's actually very, very rare that it does happen.
You kind of hit on a question I had, so it's probably a good point for me to ask. Is I've done quite a few paranormal investigations myself and have
mm-hmm.
a group, and I was wondering what your opinion was on I'm kind of a skeptic with a lot of things, and do you find in your experience that there are, in fact, and I assume based on what you've already said that evil does exist, but have you found that on investigations? Do you believe that demons actually exist out there?
My team and I haven't come across a demon yet, but myself and Brittany have. I'm not going to give Brittany's backstory away. That's her story. That she can do that for herself. But she came in contact with a demon at some point in her life, and as well as I have, my mother, as I said earlier, worked with Ed and Lorraine Warren, and a demon actually had attached itself to my mother. It lies dormant a lot, but it has, you know, split itself, you know, and it's followed me everywhere I've gone. I keep it at bay as much as I can. You know, it doesn't really affect me that much anymore. I'm almost to the point where, you know, he's going to be gone. But getting back to your question, absolutely, 1,000%, I do believe that evil and demons do exist, because I've had my own experience with them, and I've had so many people come to me to help them, you know, understand the term demon and what it entails, and how to determine if, in fact, someone is being haunted by a demon or potentially being possessed by a demon.
I guess
wow.
We shouldn't spoil too much of the ghost stuff, because we're definitely going to have to get the team back.
Yeah.
To talk about it. But another question I had is, I don't feel that I'm really psychic, but I noticed that I do have kind of an ability, and I wanted your opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody can send me a picture of a house that they just moved in, and I can tell if it's haunted just by looking at it. I don't have to be at the house. And I've been validated so many times. I mean, pretty much every time I've ever made a comment, the
mm-hmm.
person comes back to me and is amazed that I was correct. And, you know, I can walk in places, and I sense these things. We had done investigation at a hotel here, historic hotel in in Oregon, and it was a notorious haunted hotel room. I didn't feel anything, but I felt, you know, something to the room right next door. Well, nothing happened in the room where the investigation took place, and the guy that actually stayed the night was like, yeah, there was so much banging in the room where I felt that presence. What kind of ability is that, or is that even psychic, or is that just me being just sensitive to what's going on around me?
And that's a question that I get all the time, and I like to make up my own words for it because there aren't really a lot of words for some abilities that are out there. My term for that would be placement empathic, because you're not specifically picking up on a person, but you're picking up on the events or the emotions residual to the location.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I thought it was weird because I can just look at a picture, you know, so I didn't, you know, I don't have to be there all the time. It's just interesting, but I never...
And that would also, just looking at a picture, would also relate to remote viewing as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you've heard of remote viewing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm a remote viewer too.
I guess the second part to my question would be, say for somebody like myself, and I'm sure many people are out there, and perhaps even some of the listeners, if I wanted to develop this ability, what are some of the things that I could do to kind of harness it and improve it, or with any psychic ability for that matter? What can people do to really kind of make it stronger?
My first and foremost ground rule for a beginner to start off learning about their psychic abilities or evolving their psychic abilities that they have now is meditation and grounding. And it has to, for me and all of my clients that I have worked with, grounding and meditation at the same time is absolutely where everybody should start, because that will give you the roots in the ground that you need and the stability that you need. But also through the meditation, clearing your mind, focusing on, you know, one specific ability at a time and understanding it, getting a feeling for it, you know, try and, you know, touch it with your hands, metaphorically speaking, visualize it as much as you can. And then, you know, when you feel up to it, you know, try and use it, you know, say for instance, your clairaudient, and you want to enhance your ability to hear spirits. What I recommend is to sit there in silence and meditate, clear your mind, empty your body, let the light in and leave all the negative out. Don't let anything in except for the light and the good, and then sit and focus and call upon someone, a past loved one, your spirit guide, whoever it may be that you want to call upon, and talk and see if you can hear a response. And 9 times out of 10, when I give these tools to my clients, they always, always, with practice and patience, have success.
Is there any danger to that? I mean, if you're protecting yourself with white light and all that, I mean, I would be nervous of...
Well,
you know,
that's completely understandable. You know, not everything is 100% safe. I will not BS with you. There could be a potential for you to communicate with something that's not so good. But, you know, that's with everyday life, though, you know, in life and in death. I'm not going to guarantee that you're going to speak with somebody nice, and I'm not going to guarantee you're going to speak with somebody evil. You know, but I do caution you to leave the negative out and only let in the light as much as possible. And if you feel like it's getting to be too much, or you're picking on something that's making you feel uneasy or upset or angry, stop altogether. Step outside into the sunlight or into the fresh air and cleanse yourself, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. Now, Chantal, if And that is really, that was a great question, Jason, because I think
really
a lot
was.
Of us, yeah, you know, want to understand, you know, more about this stuff. But if somebody wants to find out more information about grounding themselves and meditation and understanding if maybe they have some abilities, is that something that you are able to, you know, offer consultation services on or help them with? Is that something
absolutely.
You do?
Yep, okay. Absolutely. That is one of the services that I do offer my clients or anybody who's looking for it. On my website, I do have, you know, my services, what I do, my readings and prices, my testimonials, so people don't think I'm just a big old fluke, because I get that a lot. I get that a lot because I am so young. I'm only 23. I'm turning 24 in 16 days, so a lot of people are very put off by my age, but age is just a number.
So. Well,
that's
right.
True.
Yeah, age to numbers, believe in my life. So, listen, Chantal, we're going to take a break here in a minute with the commercial, but before we go to that break, a shout out of what your website is who might want to contact you and get information.
My website is Chantal's, Chantal's Psychic Medium Readings .weebly.com. Again, that is Chantal's Psychic Medium Readings .weebly.com. All
okay.
One word. It's pretty
and
long,
then
but
if you type it in room two, Chantal, then we'll publish it later on the Paranormal Horizons Facebook. Also for people to pick up on.
Got it.
So, hey, everybody out there, we've got about another half an hour here on Paranormal Horizons on blogtalkradio.com. My Pat Rice, my co-host, Jason Ophir, and our little uptake with us this evening. And, hey, I say that even though I don't know Chantal in person, I'll say that direction. So a picture you can see. Wish I had hair. That purple hair. I absolutely love it. And,
thank you.
Yeah, once in a long time ago, years ago when I lived in San Francisco, I had bright orange hair when I was a punk. I loved punk rock. And anyway, the whole color of the hair thing is awesome for me. So thank you for being so bold. Do that. And Jason, let's go ahead and go to our commercial, and then we're going to be right back on Chantal.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, it sounded like you're breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
We'll go to break right now, and it'll be about 40 seconds.
I'm author Edwin F. Becker. In 1971, there was a Chicago haunting so horrific that it was the first ever paranormal event televised by NBC, and a glimpse of a true exorcism. My book, True Haunting, tells the story. It is one that nearly destroyed my life and did destroy the lives of others. True Haunting is available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or you can visit me at EdwinBecker.com.
Gotta love Edwin Becker. You still there, Pat? Are you there, Chantal?
I'm here.
Oh, yeah, I think she's trying to fix the
connection.
Her audio problem. Unfortunately, that happens sometimes.
Yeah,
but,
I was listening, and I was just like, I can't understand.
Well, unfortunately, you know, in the age of internet and internet connections, it's just sometimes it's unpredictable.
Absolutely.
But I was, I appreciate you giving me feedback on that because I've always wondered about it. You know, it's nothing that I've ever tried to figure out. But part of my problem is, you know, I'd like to be more sensitive, but you know, I also watch a lot of movies. like The Conjuring.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're really skeptical.
I am really skeptical. And, you know, to be honest with you, when I started doing paranormal investigations, I was not skeptical at all. The longer I do it, the more skeptical I become. Now,
mm-hmm.
I've captured evidence. I've captured EVP saying evil stuff. But still, I find myself, you know, being a skeptic. But, you know, when I start...
That's okay. I completely understand. Even though I'm a psychic medium, I doubt myself all the time. So trust me, I completely understand. 100%.
I believe that it exists. You know, I don't know if it exists in my experience personally, but, you know, I do take, I do have a psychic, and I've taken her investigations, and she's given very specific information with not ever having visited the location before and not ever having no knowledge of where we're going. And, I mean, she's like, yeah, a guy had a heart attack here, right here on the front lawn, and it turns out to be true, and I'm just sitting there dumbfounded, like, what? You know, it's crazy.
It is. You know, psychics and mediums are both like to really test the limits of a person's psyche with, you know, telling them things about themselves or past loved ones that are so specific that no one should know, and then just leaving them flabbergasted and be like, hey, I told you I was psychic, this is what you signed up for.
Do you find it to be a burden at all? We kind of touched on that a little bit. I mean, if you could take it all back, would you just not want to have the abilities?
Absolutely not. No, no, no. My abilities are something that are so, so important to me. They make me who I am, you know, and if I didn't have my abilities, I wouldn't be able to help people as much as I do and on the levels that I can. So I would absolutely never, ever give my abilities up for anything in the world.
That makes me
right
want
on.
To develop mine now.
Can you guys hear me okay now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
That sounds better, yeah.
Oh, good. I don't know what happened. Sometimes we just... love the internet, but sometimes we have problems. But Chantal, I wanted to ask you, since the listeners had a better feel too for, you know, what we do. We've talked about some, you know, some descriptions, psychic, medium, empath. What do you actually help people with? Can someone call you and say, hey, should I stay in this relationship? Or should I move? Or, you know, what kind of stuff do you do?
Well, I cover love and relationships, jobs and finance. I cover, hold on, I got to go look at my website. There's just so much that I cover for helping people. Hold on one second.
Well, and it sounds like to me, Chantal, that just from your personality to anybody about anything that they want to talk about, and that you're probably going to be very honest with them if you get some kind of answer or direction for them or not.
Absolutely. I don't hold anything back. You know, I do charge you my services, though they are very reasonably priced. I don't charge for any reading over $100, they're all under $100, except for my in-person healings, which are $120, because it takes so much energy away from me. But the areas that I do help in are love and relationships, contacting past loved ones, jobs and finance, a life coach, past life regression, grounding and protecting, ability training, cleansings, and healings. So
that's a lot, yeah.
And there's more that I do that I don't list, because those abilities are kept for certain clients. Those abilities I don't use all the time. I keep those for certain clients that need them.
Mm-hmm.
But
someone can just call you, other than your service for doing a a physical person reading, but someone could do a reading with you over the telephone, right?
Absolutely. I do over the email, over Facebook, over the phone, through video, in person, astral projection. So,
wow.
Ooh, that's an interesting subject, astral projection. Is that real?
Yeah, what is that?
Astral projection is basically, in layman's terms, your soul leaving your body at the brink of almost being asleep, but not quite, and being able to travel through time and space to wherever you may want to go. I do it almost every night, and it's a lot of fun. I could even go and visit the president if I wanted to.
Would you say that's the same as remote viewing, or is that two different things?
Oh, that's two different things.
So essentially your spirit is leaving the body,
yes.
Whereas remote viewing would be as you just kind of seeing images in your head remotely?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay.
Hey, Chantel, I got to ask this question, and do you have any kind of hit on what's going on with the Malaysia lost airplane? Have you gotten anything on that?
As far as that goes, I tend to stay away from politics. And the reason for that being is because when I was younger, I did help a lot with police work. Finding missing persons and, you know, rapists and all that nasty, uncool stuff.
Right.
So I try and stay away from that, but at the same time, I've been watching it, and part of me thinks that it is a cover-up. It's a scandal. It's meant to be in our sight because of the things that are going on outside of this tragedy, like, you know, Putin and Obama and whatever else may be going on.
Right.
But there are missing people on the plane. There are.
Yeah.
But it was done by government. It was, and I hate to say that, and I hope no government's listening because they're probably going to come and get me and kill me.
Well, gosh, if they were listening to Paranormal Horizons, we'd probably be rich, but no.
They're going to come after me because I suggested that our own government might nuke itself. So,
yeah.
I'm going to be on the hit list for sure. So
me too.
And this is for the listeners. If I disappear, it was probably because of that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, for listeners, everyone out there listening right now, if I disappear and you don't hear from me for a week, the government has got me, and you need to call somebody.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. And I didn't mean to put you on the spot, Chantal. Of course,
that's perfectly okay. I love these kinds of controversial topics. I really do, because I don't get to talk about them a lot. You know, when I was younger, I saw 9/11 happen. And I knew exactly who did it, and what was put on the media was a complete lie. So, you know, and if I ever went and told somebody, I would have gotten put away or probably murdered or whatever.
Right, or just, you know.
Our government. Our government.
Categorized. Crazy. Yeah. Well, so what do you have coming?
Was an inside job.
Yeah. So just to remind everybody out there, you're listening to Paranormal Horizons. We have just about 10 more minutes. We're talking with the Purple Cupcake, Chantal, Lenexa, Kansas. I love saying that, the Purple Cupcake. I'm sorry. But anyway, Chantal, what? So, like, what else is going on? Like, you have some investigations coming up? Or I would think that Kansas is a pretty old state, that you'd have interesting things going on in the area.
We do have a lot of things going on at the moment. There's a few that I'm not allowed to talk about right now because they are in the works, and there are some pretty big, amazing, incredible, fantastical things. And I want everybody to stay tuned and keep clicking on our website because we have reached over 1,000 clicks per day, which is amazing. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah.
But we have some pretty big investigations coming up. We have investigated a lot of the big historical places here in Kansas and Missouri, even Nebraska. We actually went to a castle in Nebraska. It's in the middle of town. It's called Jackson Castle. It's a beautiful castle. It was made by a Scotsman. And it was given, Nathan and I had found it for Rick's birthday 2 years ago. You know, his biggest dream was to be able to investigate a castle. And so Nathan and I spent a whole day researching for a castle. And, you know, since we can't afford to go overseas, we found the next best thing. So,
wow. That sounds really strange, a castle in Kansas.
Oh, it's in Nebraska.
Wow. So who built it?
A Scottish architect. I'm not really sure what his name is. But
oh, okay.
It's amazing. It's beautiful.
Wow.
I've always wanted to live in a castle. I mean, that would be totally awesome.
The castle
yeah.
is actually a few streets down from Warren Buffett's house.
Oh. Well, it makes sense that a Scottish person would build a castle for sure. But anyway, go ahead. So I didn't mean to interrupt that you were planning something there.
As far as some of the investigations that we have done, since I can't talk about any of the investigations that we are going to be doing in the near future, we've done a pretty historical mansion in Lee Summit, Missouri, which is actually where I had first met Rick and Nathan and Larry through the live feed. It's called Longview Mansion. It has so many rooms. It's so beautiful. Weddings are held there now, and it's just an amazing place to go. We've investigated battlefields, massacre sites.
Wow.
Yeah, that's basically all that we've done is, like, mansions, historical mansions and battlefields and historical homes and everything like that. Because
mm-hmm.
we're such history nerds, and you could find all of our evidence on our website.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, Chantal, about the, you know, being the historical nerds, because there's so many folks that Jason and I have talked to, so many of the, if you want to call them hauntings or, you know, whatever, they really are around, you know, older. Not every case, but, you know, a lot of times older buildings where there is a lot of history. And I think that when you investigate the history, it adds to the validity of what's going on. Because
Absolutely.
Then then you're like, well, yeah, you know, these people lived here and this person lived here and this happened. And I don't know, you know, maybe I'm just too naive or something, but I think that plays into what, you know, what someone like yourself could be picking up, or even, you know, Jason, you know, you saying that you went into an old hotel in Oregon and you look at a picture or whatever and you get these hits of something, you know, maybe. And I always called that intuition. But I really appreciate the description that you gave earlier, Chantal, about the, I think you called it a placement empathic.
Yeah, placement empathic is basically picking up the residual imprints of emotions, activities,
yeah.
You name it. You're just reoccurring, you know, like a record player looping over and over again, just like a residual haunting with the spirit.
Right.
You know, they don't interact with you. They just go about their normal day, you know, when they were alive.
Yeah, and, you know, have you ever had that feeling that where you've met someone and you, wow, I'm so connecting with you and I feel like
Absolutely.
I've known you.
I actually just met a woman who was actually referred to me by John Zappas and Aaron Goodwin, which was really weird. I wasn't expecting that, but she came to me looking for help, and she told me that John Zappas and Aaron Goodwin had recommended me to her for the kind of help that she was seeking. And oddly enough, her and I share the same exact birthday, just different years.
Wow.
Weird.
And I've never come across another person that has the same birthday as I do, ever. And actually, another person on Facebook, she's a good friend as well. Her name is Chantal, which is the same name as mine. And she's also a psychic and a medium. And she's just the sweetest thing. Her name is Chantal Cash. She's absolutely adorable. You know, and there are a lot of people like that that I connect with all the time that I'm supposed to be in contact with, you know, whether it be from a past life or, you know, within this life they need guidance and they need help, and I'm the one who's supposed to be there for them. So,
yeah, I find that all very fascinating, and I just can't disregard it because the people in my life that I've had those feelings about have become people in my life that I've either been, you know, really good friends with, or they've had an impact in my life, or, you know, something like that. And, you know, a couple of people that I've met throughout the years, in some cases I've had, it's kind of been a, I don't necessarily say negative impact, but there were some hard lessons to learn that I learned from those people, and I guess I choose to look at it that way because I just feel like you do meet people and each other for reasons, and that's kind of one of my philosophies in life, and yeah, so I think you're kind of validating for me, Chantal, and I appreciate that.
You're very welcome, sweetheart.
Yeah. So, Chantal, before we close, go ahead, Jason.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say before we close tonight, you know, I just want to, you know, thank Chantal for taking time to be with the show, be on Paranormal Horizons tonight with us. And also, I just wanted to close with, you know, if she had a message kind of for our listeners out there, maybe, I don't know, this sounds heavy, but words of wisdom, you know,
if you look at my Facebook timeline, I am all about words of wisdom and uplifting people and, you know, sharing my views. And I've actually had a quote copyrighted that I made that I have trademarked as my own. And it is, though I am, so is the light. That is my quote.
Very cool.
But my words of wisdom for everyone is dare to be different. You know, don't conform to society's image. Be your own person and be proud of that. Every one of you are special no matter what anybody says to you. You're all beautiful. You are all meant here for a purpose. So whenever you're feeling down, I want every single one of you to look in the mirror and realize how special and how beautiful you all are. Because of all of you, great, amazing people, is why this world turns and is so full of love and light and all those precious moments that we hold so dear. So I want you all to remember that. Love yourself and be different. Be you.
It's so refreshing to hear a positive message. So I appreciate that final message. The world needs more of that.
You're very welcome.
Absolutely. Now, Chantal, if you have time, if you would go onto our Facebook page, Paranormal Horizons, and post your Facebook page, your website, so that people know how to get in touch with you for readings and, you know, consultations. And do we have your permission to use the, you know, the SITL, you know, so is the light, is it okay if I mention that, you know, on our Facebook page, that this is something that you have, you know, coined as your phrase?
Absolutely.
I love it, and I thank you for, you know, for sharing that with everyone. I think that yeah, I mean, you know, like you said earlier, you may be a young person on this planet, you are an old soul.
Yes.
Definitely.
Aw, you guys are awesome.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been fun, and we're going to have to get a time where we can have your group on, because I really, really am interested in hearing about your paranormal experiences, especially the malevolent ones. I know that the listeners always like to hear exciting stories, and I really look
yeah.
forward to that. So I'll get with you, and we can come up with a date.
Okay.
Yeah, that was awesome. So, yeah, thanks again, Chantal. And, yeah, I hope that things are warming up there in Kansas. And we will talk with you again soon here on Paranormal Horizons on blogtalkradio.com.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye, guys. Thank you so much.
Love and light.
Love and light.
I sure like that saying. I like love and light. I need more love and light in my life. I'm just such a downer. I mean, you can just tell by my voice I'm a downer.
Well, you know, but you know, Jason, you are back in school. I mean, I'm not saying that school should be a downer, but my God,
a downer to be 40 years old sitting next to 18-year-olds. It's definitely a downer.
You're doing what you got to do, and I think that, you know, without going into your whole life history and what you've gone through, that, you know, you're doing what you got to do, and when you get to the other side of the mountain, it will be better. But, you know, I just wanted to recap, Jason, that I just love talking with Chantal tonight. I had no idea, you know, what her age was or anything. So we never asked that. But I felt that her wisdom and her experience was far beyond years.
Yeah, I think that's pretty evident. You know, now that I'm around people her age in school, I mean, it's clear that she is well beyond her age in terms of wisdom. For sure.
Yeah. Now, Jason, what do we have lined up for next week here on our show, Paranormal Horizons? I think we're going to do a round table.
I think we are. It's going to be Knights of the Round Table, where we talk to at least one other person and just kind of chatter about all things paranormal.
Yeah, you know, and if you're listening and you'd like to be on the show, chat with us about maybe a topic that you have, something interesting that you've heard that's going on, or you want to talk to us about psychics and we can throw some discussions around. I guess, for lack of a word, Jason, I'm going to call it a debate. You can call in, we'll give you the number to let us know ahead of time. Or, you know, if you just want to listen and go into the chat room, we're just going to talk about things that are going on in the world. And who knows, maybe there will be some more solid information about the Malaysia, you know, aircraft that has disappeared. Not that I want to focus on that, Jason, but it's just not go away, you know, until there's some resolution on that. But we are open to talking about anything other than we don't want to badmouth people. That is not a topic we will accept on this show.
Yeah. No drama. None.
Yeah.
There is one more thing I did want to mention before we close the show this evening.
Okay.
Chantal was talking about astral projection.
Mm-hmm.
And I have experienced an out-of-body experience once, or what I would have perceived to be an out-of-body experience. But what I wanted to mention was, and this is some more recent news, we can close the show with some recent news having to do with astral projection. People that experience out-of-body experiences and astral projection, it's really hard to... It's so random that it's hard to hook people up to equipment, you know, and measure it, you know, measure activity and stuff like that. But recently, here's a breaking story. There is a young person, I believe it was in England or Europe, that can astral project at will.
Really?
And, yeah. And so somehow the word got out, or they communicated with somebody. I don't remember exactly. Anyways, they hooked up with a research team and scientists, and what they were able to do was monitor her brain activity during these events. And what they found surprised them because, and I wasn't planning on talking about this today, so I don't have all the details, but what happened was when they hooked her up to the machine and she was having these experiences, a different part of the brain had a lot of activity, and it was a part of the brain that they didn't expect. What that means, I don't know. I don't remember what part of the brain, but it wasn't a part of the brain that would have been associated with, like, I don't know, dream activity or stuff like that. So, but there is brain activity during those experiences that was in an unusual area. That's all I remember, so...
You know, that's interesting, and I would love to have a guest to talk more about that, because there's also the whole, you know, dream kind of information or scientific dream stuff where, or let's not call it dream stuff, and let's call it when we go to sleep at night, that we are... We're going out of our bodies, and you know, we're doing something. We're going somewhere or whatever, and you know, we all have dreams that are all crazy. You know what they mean, and half the time I can't remember my dream. You know, 5 minutes later, once I wake up, so that would be a guess. What do you think?
Oh, you're kind of breaking up there. Yeah, I think I caught that, though. That would be an amazing guest to talk about that. I do remember my dreams, and I'll tell you that I have dreams that unnerve me, and one of them is, the main one is volcanoes. It usually consists of a volcano going off and me trying to get away. So then I started I noticed that there was a substantial earthquake in Yellowstone National Park, which pretty much sits on the world's biggest volcano. The whole thing is a volcano. It's like 90 miles by 30 miles wide, and it would pretty much ruin everybody's day if it went off. So I was hoping that my volcano dreams weren't in some way connected to Yellowstone going off, because it's due to blow.
Wow, I didn't know that. Huh.
Its last eruption was 600,000 years ago, and it's been 640,000 years since the last eruption. So, and then I saw that earthquake. I was like, oh, boy, because basically if that thing goes off, anything within 100 miles is instantly going to be toast.
Yeah.
And you're looking at massive issues, you know, even 1,000 miles away. Not that you're going to die from stuff falling out of the sky, but, you know, it would completely collapse, you know, the food in the Midwest, food production, and everybody on the West Coast would be inundated with feed upon feed. I think they said something like 12 feet of ash, and it would just cool the planet.
It would. And, hey, everybody, sorry about some of the technical issues. It sounds like I was cutting out earlier, but all I was saying, Jane, is, you know, just based on what you used to about a dream and you know, some of the things that could happen if your dream came true, but I thought that it would be interesting to have someone who was a dream expert or the astro projection person that we were taught, you know, somebody who knew more about that, Jason. I think that would be interesting as a future guest.
That would be. So if there's any experts out there, let us know, because I don't think we've talked about dream interpretation or astral projection specifically. So that would be an excellent subject.
Yeah, no, we have not. So, yeah, so, well, listen, Jason, I think it's about time for us to sign off. And just to remind everyone, another episode next week on Blog Talk Radio, Paranormal Horizons, 7 p.m. Pacific time. And Jason, kind of, you know, partners or, you know, want to give a shout to their shows. You have that information,
yes.
Andy? Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I couldn't tell if you cut out or not. Yeah, we definitely want to say hi to our friend shows. We have Beyond the Edge of Reality that has a variety of shows. They've got The Gripe and a couple other shows that everybody should check out. And that's also on Blog Talk Radio. You can just type in Blog Talk Radio / Beyond the Edge of Reality. It should get you to their show pages. And that's the one I can think about off the top of my head. The week after next, we are having another psychic. We're having Sherilyn Fletcher. And then after that, I don't know. Again, if there's anybody out there that is a Bigfoot expert, we need to get some Bigfoot going on up in here. So.
Yeah. I like to talk about Bigfoot, so we're going to be working on that. So, right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for tuning in, or if you're listening to an on-demand episode, which anybody can do anytime with this episode or any of the shows, we appreciate your support, and we'll talk to you next week. I'm Pat Wright.
Good night, everyone.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Pat Rice and Jason Ophir. Be sure to come listen to the show next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Blog Talk Radio. And also, check out our Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.